For New York to hit its future emission reduction goals, which are written into state law, the state will need to dramatically cut the amount of CO2 produced by the transportation sector in the Empire State. To discuss some of the initiatives being spearheaded by the state in this vein, including the transition to zero-emission school buses, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Adam Reuter, Director of Clean Transportation for the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
So starting in 2027, which is really around the corner now, school districts are required to purchase zero-emission buses, and by 2035, they need to phase out their entire fleet of buses that rely on fossil fuels. School districts are keen on getting help with this mandate, which at least initially represents an increase in costs. So what state funding is out there now for this transition?
We have some comprehensive programs that help schools with both the planning and the purchases. And we're also really fortunate to have partners at the federal government and with the electric utilities who offer funding as well. So on the state side, we currently provide up to 100% of the cost covered for schools to develop a fleet electrification plan. This really gives them a roadmap for how they can go about this transition to zero emission buses. It looks at the routes that they run, the terrain, the climate, the size of the district, and the available electricity and power at their bus depot, and helps them come up with a plan that's going to be appropriate for them. Each one is unique for the school district, and we've seen a lot of interest in this. We're working with over 200 school districts right now across the state to help them with these plans. We also have money, as I said, to pay for the buses and the chargers themselves. So as part of Governor Hochul's $4.2 billion Environmental Bond Act that was passed in 2022 by voters, $500 million of that money is going towards school bus electrification. And with that, NYSERDA has launched a school bus incentive program that will cover up to 100% of the difference in cost between a diesel bus and an electric bus, and it can cover the cost of the charging equipment as well. So between these two programs, we see the state really helping schools get on the right track and understand what it's going to take to electrify their fleets, and then also get started on that path.
What's the capacity of that initial investment? Is this going out, say, on a first-come, first-serve basis? Because you imagine there will be a lot of demand for this money, since you're covering the difference in cost between a zero-emission vehicle and a traditional vehicle?
For the buses, yes, it is first come, first served, with some limitations, caps per district. We don't want one school district to suck up too much of the money. We want it to really spread across the state. We've seen applications from dozens of schools already, and so we're really enthusiastic about the response that we've gotten. The program just opened in November, and we're seeing a strong response so far. But there is still plenty of money left, and we encourage schools, even if you're not ready to go 100% electric, and most school districts are not, we think it's really important for schools to get some experience with these buses before 2027 rolls around. We're encouraging schools to try buying one or two buses, integrate them into your fleet, see how they work, get your mechanics and your drivers comfortable with them, and really come up, that will help you flesh out this plan that you're coming up with to integrate these buses into your fleet.
In terms of how you're choosing to hand out money, is there any priority for districts that have high financial needs or are located in what we might think of as environmental justice communities?
Yes, that's a great question. There are districts that are considered high need by state education department, and districts that have a large portion of their population living in what are designated as disadvantaged communities are eligible for a higher rebate amount through our program, as well as higher funding for the charging as well.
What types of vehicles fall under the distinction of zero emission in order to be eligible for this funding?
So zero emission buses can include battery electric buses as well as hydrogen fuel cell buses. And in the future, there may be other technologies that that fit into this category as well. As of right now, electric buses are the only technology that's on the market. Hydrogen fuel cell buses are available for transit buses and some other trucks, but not in the school bus market. So right now we're really talking about electric buses.
Now, do you anticipate that this money will just be distributed on, say, a rolling basis with additional revenue from the Bond Act injected to it on recurring basis? Or will you try to analyze and evaluate this first wave of money and potentially rethink how you give out money, who you give money to, and how much it is worth?
So right now, we've made $100 million of the $500 million available, and we expect to continue to make more of that money available over time and as that initial allotment is depleted. We absolutely are continuing to look at the market and understand where it's going, understand what some of the bottlenecks are, understand what the price of the buses are doing, because you know we want to make sure that we're addressing the needs of the schools. And we anticipate that over time, the price of these buses will come down. But we don't want to prematurely, you know, reduce incentive amounts if that's not the case. So we're consistently keeping an eye on the market, collecting data from the school buses that we're putting out there, and we will make adjustments to the program as needed over time. Our hope is to make this money stretch as far as we can and help as many schools buy as many buses as possible. So we want to make sure that we're not over-incentivizing, but we also want to make sure that we're not under-incentivizing too.
Well, yeah, you bring up this issue of costs of the school buses now versus what they might be in the future. And I think about the $400 40-inch television I bought more than a decade ago, and how that same size television today, a higher quality version of it, could be purchased for well under $400. So is there any merit to the idea that maybe we should wait on buying some of these buses till closer to 2035, when maybe the technology will have advanced further and like that 40-inch television become cheaper?
So typically a school bus in New York State is on the road for about 8 to 10 years. The buses that are on the road today have a very sophisticated technology that has gotten a lot better even over the last decade from where electric vehicles were then. Typical school bus today can go 100 to 200 miles on a charge. Typical school bus in New York State drives less than 100 miles a day, on average of 70 to 80 miles, even in rural communities. The technology that's out there right now is very capable of running routes in virtually every school district in the state. And we think that every school district can benefit from this technology today. Now, will the price come down over time? Yes, I certainly anticipate that, and we hope so. But we don't see that as a reason to wait. You know, getting some experience now, understanding how the technology works, is going to be really important, and it will help set you up for success down the road. We're not saying to schools that you should turn over your entire fleet today. You know, as I said, school bus fleets tend to turn over in 8 to 10 years. So even if you were replacing every new bus you were buying this year were electric, you're still not replacing your entire fleet this year. It's going to be a gradual process. So these buses today are very capable and a great way to get the experience needed to get into this market.
So the recently adopted state budget includes the creation of a zero-emission school bus resource center within NYSERDA. And I'm curious what your expectations are for this new office.
So this zero-emission school bus resource center, it may not be an office, but it is a great opportunity for us to get more information out to schools and stakeholders, voters, who have questions about electric school buses. Over the last year, we have released an electric school bus guidebook, which really has hands-on resources for all of the folks who are working on electric school buses in one capacity or another, whether that's the superintendents, the business officials, the school transportation officials, school facilities officials, or school boards and voters, to understand what the benefits are, what the challenges are with electric school buses, and to help them learn what some of the best practices they might be able to adopt are. This type of resource, it's already up on our website, but we really want to do more to get this type of resource out into the hands of people who have questions, people who are looking for help. And we see this resource center as a great opportunity to work with our fellow state agencies to get the right information into the hands of the right people, and really help to make this transition as smooth as possible.
Well, school buses are not the only form of emissions that are coming from the transportation sector. So in terms of NYSERDA's ability to address the transportation sector and the emissions coming from it, what are some other areas that you think your authority can make a difference?
So we're very involved in decarbonization of the transportation sector in a number of different ways. From the fuels perspective, you know, we run a rebate program, the Drive Clean rebate for electric cars and passenger vehicles, which offers up to $2,000 per vehicle off of the price of the car at the point of sale. So right at the dealership, that money is taken off the price of the car. We offer a similar program to the school bus program for trucks and transit buses as well. That's our truck voucher incentive program. We also have been doing a lot with building more charging stations in the state, both fast chargers that you might use to fill your battery in a matter of 10, 15, 20 minutes, as well as level two chargers, they're called, that you might use at work, or if you are an apartment dweller, or at a municipal parking lot that you might be parked at for a few hours to get a charge. We don't just focus on electrification, though. We have done a lot of work with mobility and providing new clean mobility options to people across New York State, particularly in lower income and disadvantaged communities, because transportation is a major household expense. And we want to make sure that people in New York have affordable, clean options, whether that's car sharing with electric vehicles or e-bikes or regular bikes or better public transit access. All of these are really important for New Yorkers for economic opportunity, as well as cleaning the transportation system.
When it comes to the different steps that you can take in terms of greening the transportation sector, does NYSERDA just have broad authority, say, under the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act to take these different steps? Or do you have to wait on the state legislature and the governor to adopt laws that allow you to go into action, like with the school bus mandate?
So we work very closely with our other fellow state agencies, because there are a lot of different state agencies that touch the transportation sector. Obviously, DOT, but the MTA is a huge, you know, piece of the transportation picture downstate. Department of Environmental Conservation has a lot of the regulatory authority over the transportation sector. The Department of Public Service, which regulates the utilities. Obviously, the utilities are much more engaged on transportation now that there's a lot more electric transportation. So we have to work very closely with our fellow state agencies. Some things do require legislative action. Others are things that, you know, we can use the funding available to us to take on, or, you know, a lot of it is also coming from the federal government. We apply for federal grants. We administer federal funds as well. So that's a big part of what we're doing too.
But I guess the initial question is, do you have to wait for, say, specific authority from new laws to take certain steps, or do you have really broad authority to figure out different ways to realize our reduction emission goals?
We have authority to spend the money that is made available to us,
gotcha.
Whether that's through federal funds or through the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative or some of the Clean Energy Fund, which is ratepayer funds that have been approved for our use. Obviously, if there are actions that require that are beyond that require legislative action, then that's the prerogative of the legislature.
And finally, do you feel like we are heading in a direction where, at least from the transportation side of things, New York is on pace to hit our reduction emission goals?
We've made a ton of progress and we are on the right path. You know, this past year, we were close to 10% of the new vehicle market was electric in New York State. That's up from under 2% just a few years ago. We're seeing big leaps and bounds forward. We are seeing new activity in transit and clean mobility that in parts of the state that don't necessarily think that may be the solution for them, but we're seeing more activity there. There's obviously a lot more to do, and we're just getting started, and we have a lot more things that we'd like to do, but we're on the right path and making a lot of progress.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Adam Reuter. He's the Director of Clean Transportation for the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. Adam, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the American Heart Association. Schools are for students, families at plays, and athletic events. In an emergency, the American Heart Association believes a cardiac emergency response plan would save lives. Information about proposed laws S-4100 and A-7013 is available at act.youre.org.